Recording.
Call a meeting to order.
Murphy?
Yep.
Buffo?
Here.
Gary? Dean? Robbins?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
Alright, gentlemen, the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We invite you to remain standing if you so choose while we pray. Lord, I lift up every board member and trustee in this village and the employees that work in this village. Father, we are not all knowing, we are not all wise, but you are. And we thank you for giving us the wisdom to work, do our best work for this community. We thank you, Lord, for open ears, open hearts as we hear the issues of the day, and help us to make the best decisions for this community, not necessarily the best decision for a specific person. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we don't have any public comments, so we're going to go ahead and start on the
auditor's presentation. Nate, are you on there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right,
you
guys got your
video?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
I will after my device starts.
You restart.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is this getting on the stream?
There you go?
Yeah.
We can pick them up through the microphones.
Okay.
All right. So what are we going to go to first?
Did you mute him?
You want me to go ahead and start?
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah. I'm sorry, Nate. It's all you.
No problem. I can see you guys and everything, so I just wanted to make sure.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to touch on the auditor's report and then two letters that came with the report and just kind of touch on some differences from the prior year. On the big package of the audit report, I'm first wanting to jump to page two. on this page, on the third paragraph of the opinion section, it just want to point out that it's an unmodified, which means it's a clean opinion, which you as a board, it's what you want to hear. No major issues or anything. What this means is the financials are proper in form and compared to the generally accepted accounting principles, and that they're also supported by the village's underlying accounting records. Next, I want to jump to page four, which is Exhibit A, the statement of net position, modified cash basis. No significant changes here other than cash and fixed assets. Just want to point out here that cash is up approximately $400,000 from last year. And fixed assets are also up approximately $400,000 from last year. The fixed assets are up primarily directly related to the purchase of the water meters through the financing lease this year. Next, I want to jump to the next page, which is Exhibit B. Major differences here are total salaries and related expenses are down. the major highlights for these are Public Works is down by $30,000, and Public Safety is down by $49,000. Also, Contractual Services is down about $225,000 from last year. And then capital outlay is down approximately $60,000. Want to point out that water and sewer revenues are up approximately 10% or $90,000 from last year. And this is primarily due to the water rate increases. at the bottom of the page, you'll see there's a change in net position line. The total here is $746,249. This is net income, which is positive, so that's a good thing. Next, want to flip to Exhibit C. On here, there's just two lines that are different from last year, or that are new from last year. It's the due from other funds in the asset section, and then the due to other funds in the liability section. Both of these are the same amount, and what they were, it was a transfer from the general fund to the TIF fund to cover an interest payment or interest expense payment. And if I recall, this was reimbursed to the general fund slightly after 4:30. next, I want to jump to Exhibit B. main things I want to point out here is just in the other financing sources and uses section, the transfers in and out. You'll see that the police and street and alley have transfers that were made to them from the general fund. And this is to zero out the negative cash balances, which is essentially there was less revenues coming into the police and street alleys than there were expenses. So this is just a transfer to net those to zero. Next, I want to skip to Exhibit G, which is on page 10. Major change from last year, I want to point out that there was no transfer this year, and that's primarily due to the water fund having excess revenues over expenses for the current year. So there were some major projects, but most of those were either capitalized or they were just under, so that the revenue, the change in net position was actually positive this year, so it did not require any transfers. And these transfers have, in the previous few years, been coming from the Waterworks and Sewage Fund, which currently still has $124,000 in it. Next, I want to jump to page 11, which is Exhibit H. Mainly, I just wanted to point this out. This is shows the cash flows for the water and sewer funds, just the in and outs of what is the activity that's going on in each of those funds. Next, I want to jump to the notes. I want to point out a couple new and significant notes, or new and or significant notes. Have you jump to page 24? Here I want to point out note 10. This is new for the current year and relates to the water meter capital leases. So in the top section, it gives some just general information related to the lease agreement. And then below that, we have the future minimum lease payments that are under the agreement and shows the present value of the net minimum payments. Next, I want to jump to the next page and show note 11. This is the changes in long-term debt. Mainly just wanted to point this one out just because it's a good summary of all the long-term debt that the village has and what payments are expected in the next year. Next, I want to jump to page 27. want to note note 14. This is this breaks out the restricted property tax activity. And the only one that just wanted to point out is the IMRF one, and this one has a balance remaining, and that's due to the expenditures that were incurred were actually less than what was levied, or what was received through the levy. Next, I want to jump to page 35. On here, I want to point out footnote 23.
This just shows the summary of the other capital commitments that are besides like any of the leases that we were made aware of either after the report, but up to the report date. So this just summarizes all those contracts that we were made aware of that the village has the commitment for. Lastly, I want to point out footnote 24 directly below that. This is our COVID uncertainty footnote, which primarily just states that due to the uncertainty of the impact that COVID can have on the village, there could be some things in the next year that could have a significant impact on the village that we're just not aware of at this point and can't directly come up with an estimate related to it. On the last page of this report, page 44, this is the independent auditor's report on the TIF, this, or the TIF fund. Wanted to point out that we tested almost 99% of the TIF fund expenditures, and nothing came to our attention related to any non-compliance with the state's TIF statutes. I do just want to, however, note, as a disclaimer, the primary purpose of our overall audit was not directed towards finding such non-compliance. And so if we had been performing additional procedures, there could have been non-compliance that may have came to our attention. So just wanted to point that out. Next, I want to jump to the internal control letter. I believe that should be the smaller of the two. If you jump to page 2, this just notes some of the material weaknesses that we noted. The first one there is material journal entries. There were material journal entries recorded as part of the audit. Not unusual for your size of organization, but we're just required to point them out. And you'll see all those journal entries, all the entries that we posted on the other attached letter. The next section underneath the material journal entries is the segregation of duties. The first point there, it's just a recommendation that we think would help with segregation of duties, and it would be to have a board member review the monthly bank reconciliations against bank statements. And we'd have that board member hopefully have online access where they could have access to that statement, not necessarily to change anything, but just to receive it is what we typically see. So that way, it's just another control that, you know, that you have the ability to look at any point what's going on in the activity. The next section, this is more just water and billing. And we're just recommending adding a monthly report for the board meetings that should be prepared by the office staff or treasurer or potentially a waterworks or sewage employee. And on this report, it would show like a comparison of the gallons of water pumped out for sale to the gallons of water billed for the previous month and fiscal year to date. This information would give the board an idea of the amount of water wastage that you have and provide you with the opportunity to identify any unusual discrepancies.
Which we do that.
You do that?
We do that, okay. Yeah.
Also, a comparison of the water billings to the amount of cash received for the most recent completed monthly cycle. This might be something you guys already do. It's just something I guess I don't see on the minutes. And also, all these points aren't unusual. It's just we're required to point them out. On the next page, there's another one for accounting procedures. And this is that we suggest that someone on the board reviews all journal entries and maintain some kind of documentation for that review. So I don't think there's a ton of entries that you guys record, but it's just a suggestion to potentially have those printed out so the board can review those in the following board meeting. And then potentially just have a board member sign it or initial it, just showing that it's been reviewed, and then keep that record for when the audit comes by, just as proof that it's been reviewed. Another accounting procedure that we recommend is tracking of the capital assets purchased for use of water and sewer, for the water and sewer funds. Currently, most times they're tracked in an expense account, and then we record an entry to move them to the capital assets. So what we recommend is keeping them on the balance sheet instead of the income statement for the water and sewer funds, as required by for GAAP. The other items below are just other items that we wanted to point out. One thing I know it's been on here, I think the last two times, is the water and sewer rate ordinance. It's been a little bit since I've looked at this, but if I recall, the ordinance and what is being used for in-town water only, or what's being used for the in-town water only billings, isn't really presented on the ordinance. And currently, I think it's being multiplied by a 36% increase factor. So we just recommend that that be updated and added to the ordinance, just to make sure it's in line with what is being done. That's it for this letter. Next, I want to jump to the post-governance letter. This letter pretty much just explains how the audit went operationally and how well we worked with management. On page two, you'll see a section that's called difficulties encountered in performing the audit. We had no difficulties. Towards the bottom of that page, there's a section called disagreements with management. We didn't have any disagreements with management either, so that's good. On the following page, on page three, the management representation letter, we received this, which is required as part of the audit, but just wanting to note that we did receive it. And then the next section is the management consultation, and we did not have any consultation with other independent accountants. Also, I just want to point out, starting at page five of this document is where the adjusting journal entries starts, and then you will also have in some of these pages after the adjusting journal entries, you have the reclass entries, which is just moving potentially moving a transaction from one account on the balance sheet or moving from one account on the income statement. So the reclass entries do not impact net income or net assets. And then at the end, you'll have the past adjusting entries, which are entries that we passed on reporting due to them being immaterial or potentially, you know, having a larger impact on the audit if we had to go back and do something, but they weren't material entries. That's it for the letters. We also are preparing the annual financial report, the AFR. This is another service that we prepare for you, and it's based off of the final audit report, and we submit it to the Illinois Comptroller. This is due, I believe, at the end of October. We have it prepped. I just need to review it, and then Mitch needs to review it as well. So we'll have that done before the deadline, and we'll be probably discussing that with, I can't remember if we have Randy or Rob on there that they have to log in and just push a button. So lastly, I just want to thank Mayor Murphy, Brandy, and Matt for all their help this year with the audit. You know, we couldn't have done that without your guys' help, especially this year since we had to do most of it remotely with the impacts of COVID. Any questions?
Think so. Any questions, guys? No?
No. And feel free to reach out to me at a later date if you are reading it and have any other questions about any of the other things. If I didn't discuss something, you want further detail on it.
Cool. And if they don't have their contact, we'll get it to them. So.
Okay.
Cool. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Yep. Thanks. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay. All right. Engineering. I guess we really don't have any updates. No word on the grant or anything. Do we have that risk resilience thing? Is that in the workplace?
He's working on it. He's hoping to have it done by the next summer.
Okay. Because let's say I don't remember seeing any action items. Which I really like the action items. It makes life a lot easier. Discussion about the fiber internet.
Don't have a timeline or anything, right? Just
I have no timeline, no nothing. So I know nothing. It's exactly what you guys know right now.
But his card is here.
But his card is, yeah, exactly. So now we're up to the police department. Any updates?
On
anything? I mean, what's going on in the world?
Update you on a lot of things.
How's the nuisance properties going?
They're still there. Some are improving a little bit. Some are the same. The GPS antennas that Mick had wanted us to get are installed. That happened today. Deputy Chief starts tomorrow. He'll be working during the day. And I don't know until he is comfortable to be out on his own, which I imagine will be fairly soon. I think I'm just more used to getting to our report writing. It's a different traffic crash software that we use, but I'm hoping before too long he'll be working 4 p.m., 2 a.m., Wednesday through Saturday, so we'll have some evenings and weekends covered in the short term, and then when we get some other guys returning from the military.
But you guys will still be all over the thing at random hours.
Yes, because that's what we do. Yep. We'll be everywhere.
Everywhere.
And as I'm sure everybody knows, on the 21st of last month, we had several cars broken into, unlocked cars entered, and unlocked cars stolen. The cars have been recovered. I would say that I'm working with the Sheriff's Department, but I'm really just kind of assisting them. They've taken command of the situation, which is awesome, because they have the technology and the people that are able to do it. I'm helping them out when I can, but they are, I guess we're working together. They recovered one of the stolen vehicles. They got some prints, some DNA that will be going to the lab, but it will take a long time before we hear anything, I'm sure, with everything being backlogged. But we do have evidence. We do have video, a lot of video from Ring doorbells, other type of video doorbells that people have. I'm waiting for hopefully good video of where the stolen cars were and the suspects were in a parking lot in Champaign. So hopefully we will have something to be able to identify the bad guys. We have some of the stolen items were recovered and have been returned, but the key to the story is lock your cars and don't leave anything valuable in your cars, because if that would have happened, none of this would have happened.
So how did the neighborhood watch meeting go?
It went fine. I'd say I think there was maybe probably close to 15 people there, basically just kind of explain the same thing. Lock your cars, don't leave anything valuable in it, shut your garage doors at night, lock your house. If you think suspicious, report it. Don't put it on Facebook first. report it.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not on, Sheriff's Department will respond. Things of that nature. The important thing is, if we don't know about it, it's hard for us to do our jobs.
True.
And I have the updated taser code. I didn't make copies, but it is for $18,000. It is a 5-year, no questions asked warranty. They will buy back our other tasers, I think, up to $180 a piece. I can't remember what the other questions were.
Did you get a suit?
Written down. What's that?
Did you get a suit with it?
It sounds. I hope there's a suit. It sounds like there's a suit. I didn't get it in writing. I mean, it sounds like there's a suit. But if it's approved, then basically I send it in within a couple weeks, allegedly.
Well, you're approved up to. I mean,
well, I know, but it also said approval review on the agenda, so
okay.
I waited until it was official.
And the last quote had a 4-year warranty, correct?
It was basically, it's a manufacturer's for the first year and then a 4-year extended, so it's a 5-year total.
All right. Cool.
And basically I asked him, and that's what he. So if we pay for it over there, and there's no bonus for paying at one time. It's the same if you make the 5 yearly payments or
so no interest.
Sum.
It's just
it's all the same. So
it's like buying a cell phone.
So yeah, if you did it for 5 years, then the warranty is good for 5 years. If we it looks like we get a lot of cartridges. That's part of this program. So then we, even with training the officers, doing our yearly certification and stuff like that. We should be good, hopefully, unless we have to use a lot on the street. I think, one time we were talking, if we do use cartridges on the street, I think we can get a hold of them and get those replaced as part of this package.
Can I see that?
I can make copies of, basically everything is the same. They just took that one out that had the taxes included on the back page, or expecting the last, or close to the last. And it looks like it includes, because you have to have a special conductive target too. And it looks like that's in the frame. And plus, hopefully, we have new equipment that works.
Does anyone else want to see this?
I haven't seen it.
Everybody good? Motion to approve the Axon Enterprise quote for tasers. For $18,000.
Second. Okay.
Buffo?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
How's your studying going on lowering the speed limit?
I haven't had much time to do it here of late.
I wonder why.
I did get a chance this morning to run a little bit, about, not long enough, but about 15 minutes on Central for school traffic. But it seems any time that I am there, either somebody does something blatantly in front of me that I have to stop them, or I get called somewhere else, which is what happened this morning. But we're getting there, and then maybe to get a little bit more, get some more officers on the streets.
Yeah.
They can help out to get at different times, especially if John working the evening, might be able to get a different feel for the evening time traffic. But we're getting there.
Perfect.
I appreciate that you've been out of that curve by the school.
I'm
I had the good pleasure of watching you turn your lights on for someone. To, it wasn't me, but there's a lot of shenanigans that go on out there, so I think it's a good presence.
Yes, it can be a little bit of a racetrack out there,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of one.
Yeah.
But hopefully it will. Well, I try.
Appreciate
anything
it.
You guys want, extra patrol or anything mm-hmm. like that to share with them? Jared? Okay. Oh, there's an email too from.
I got that. Do you know where he's?
I have no clue.
I
that's why
either.
I sent it to you.
So. I have. That's not striking any images in my mind.
Apparently, he had a long talk with you too, and he was very happy with talking to you. So.
But no, I'll try to tomorrow when I if I get a chance, I'll try to see if I can find something, or I'll just give him a text or a call to see where he's exactly those are at. But
Because it's on the roadway, we'll just fucking just tow it, get rid of it.
Yeah, but I don't. If it was in the roadway, I probably would have already towed it.
You would think.
But like I said, I don't know other. It's.
Is it sitting way back up by the railroad tracks in between the old S&S building, the pickup truck?
No, it's right almost on the street.
Yeah, I'm not.
How am I missing this?
I know, me too.
Where is it at?
It's right across from the
Claire's car dealership where they put all the cars for sale.
You've got the semi truck that's parked there, and I'd probably say maybe 50 feet to the left. There's a blue car and a white truck. Right? Yeah.
Typically during the day, that's where they have a lot of cars from the.
But it says diesel on the windshield.
Says what on their windshield?
Diesel.
Then I'm guessing it's part of the car dealership. Would be my guess. I'll look into it and see what I can investigate. But normally during the day they have a bunch of cars sitting over there that, and I know people do at different times either park cars for sale privately at that corner in that little FS building lot.
Who owns
or other
that
vehicles.
From?
I think FS still does.
Mm-hmm. And they allow people just to come put their cars down?
They don't.
Well, part of that's railroad property, too.
I mean, they haven't reported wanting to get rid of any vehicles.
Yeah.
But I can look into it. If it's on the roadway or our property, I can tag it. But if it's up there, then we'll have to send letters. And by we, I mean Randy.
Perfect.
But I'll look into it. Oh, and also tomorrow I'll be taking Michael to O'Hare's to get gear for PTI, because if we don't now, then we probably won't have it because the in-stock there is
pretty rough.
I know
Chrissy picked up stuff when she was in Chicago. So
I think John has some stuff going in, but when he went over last week, they didn't have anything in stock. And I don't want to have him start and not have what he needs.
Yeah.
That's not that far off.
And are we going to do a pretest with him?
When they send me an email telling me what it is, they said they would do that, and I haven't got one yet.
That's for Michael.
Cool.
And I'm not sure if they, it was in one of the early emails in the packet that when they had that, they'd send it out, but I haven't gotten anything about it yet. But when I do, we'll look into it.
Perfect. All right, anything else? There you go. That was easy.
Thank you.
All right, we ready to pay bills?
I'll make a motion to pay bills as presented.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Beppo?
Yes.
Kane?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Tuber?
Yes.
I did not see any sewer credits.
Vicky, you want to sign it?
Okay.
I can.
We did the audit. Regular session minutes, August 18th, 2020.
I'll make a motion to approve the regular session meeting minutes for August 18th, 2020.
Need a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Executive session minutes for August 18th, 2020.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Hey, right, roll call.
Beppo?
Yes.
Kane?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we have an ordinance approving the letter of engagement with EDG as a registered municipal advisor. This is for the refinancing that we talked about before. So we can try to get a good rate. And then the next one will be for the DA Davidson as an underwriter. Just need a motion on these two. We get our stuff refinanced.
Did these all have to do with the same?
It's all to do with the TIF refinance.
Of course, we can't just wrap it all into one ordinance because it's three separate entities, essentially.
So EDG is the Economic Development Group who currently does our TIF fund, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
They will probably have the smallest role in your package. There's supposed to be a financial advisor that writes information on the TIF, but advises you on what the bond market is or what the offers are. And they have to be a registered company, and it's a lot more efficient for you just to use the folks that are already on the board. The second one, Davidson, is going to be the are going to be the folks that really come up with the or create the paperwork that makes the bond buyers interested and create the marketplace for bond buyers. And then Ice Miller is kind of the Illinois gold standard for bond counsel, so they will guarantee to whoever buys the bonds that everything's perfect, and if not, then they get sued. So that's their function.
And the just feels like a lot, but in the end game here is to save us
money.
How much do we think we can save?
That was in a couple of board packets ago. They had their
$75,575. And would Gordon just this evaluation from EDG, who we're already working with, this can't just be built, I mean, why wouldn't this be built in to something they've already done for us? So we have to pay extra for them to help us with this.
Don't know, you'd have to ask them. That's a separate arm of their enterprise.
That's frustrating.
TIF is frustrating within itself.
Yeah. I haven't seen or looked over any of these things, but I've seen them before.
Yeah. Just feels like they should always be looking out for us and not for an extra $5,000. But
no, I don't disagree.
I get it if it's not already written into something from years ago. What are the maximums on the other two?
ICE is 17.5. Davidson's the one I'm having trouble finding.
The underwriter will be compensated by a fee and or an underwriting discount that will be set forth in the bond purchase agreement to be negotiated and entered into in connection with the issuance of the bonds. That's why there's no price.
We have a copy of this agreement?
You're not obligated to do anything until they bring a package that you want to sign off on, and it'll have all the detail in it.
For the underwriter part, but for the rest, we're locked in to about $25,000. And there isn't anything in here that reads, we only pay you if you find us something, right?
That's correct.
but we're pretty sure they are going to finance something?
You've got much.
They've already written up proposals. Oh, we got three proposals from three different bond companies, and this is the best deal.
This is
out
really
of all
good
of
timing
them.
If you're wanting to do this.
Yeah, this one had the best deal out of all of them. I think that was a couple meetings ago too. It went out in the board packets tonight.
Last meeting.
They had all three people, all three companies. Then we had the one company that presented to us, what, months ago, too. I don't know if they even wrote a proposal. I can't remember.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve ordinances 2020-0-19-20 and 21, approving letters of engagement for EDG, DA Davidson, and Ice Miller.
Second.
Butler?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Murphy?
Yes. Okay. And then next one. Oh shoot. So the merchants and solicitors. We've been having a lot of stuff with the solicitors and a lot of things with the merchants and back and forth, and there's been talk about wanting to bring food trucks to town and different things. We actually have an ordinance that covers food trucks, and there's an annual fee for food trucks. It's never been enforced because Kona Ice is here all the time, and I don't think they've ever paid a fee. I didn't even know that was written into that ordinance until Brandy found it and went through it.
Which ordinance was it?
Chapter.
Merchants and Solicitors, Chapter
111. Okay. Oh, well, right. I'm looking right here.
So.
Is Kona Ice considered a food truck?
They're selling,
merchandise
for consumption.
I mean, the fee, what is the fee a year, Brandy?
50.
It's $50 a year. They can afford $50 a year. Oh. And it's also a way for us to track who has permission to sell in our community, too. And it's nice for Justin, it's nice for us. Plus, when solicitors come, we've talked back and forth about solicitors, of keeping track of those a little bit better. And getting an email out to board members saying, hey, these solicitors are in town. Getting an email out to Justin, hey, here's the people that are selling in town. And so it's kind of cleaning this up a little bit. We can change the fee, make it higher, lower. That's why it's on here. What all did you change in there, Brandy? Do you remember off the top of your head? We had a lot of emails back and forth.
So are we saying that the Schwann man would have to also come pay this fee?
No, in fact,
he wouldn't be a food truck. He'd be a
delivery.
They're not selling food for immediate consumption.
Ice cream bars. Same as Kona.
They can.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Yeah, I think they'd follow more to the solicitor.
Yeah.
Trying to get people to purchase online,
mm-hmm.
and then they just deliver these days. So.
Right.
It's a good question, though.
Mm-hmm. What's the fee for solicitors, or what do they have to pay to be able to solicit?
$10, I think.
It's $10 per person per day.
And that's per person soliciting, like when the siting guys come with 15 kids.
They pay
$10
a piece.
The no food truck within 200 feet of another restaurant, is that from anything in particular, or we just throw that in there?
That was in, I think it was already in there maybe, and it was in some of the ones that I had gotten from other towns as well.
I'm sure they give.
Unless that restaurant or establishment is the one bringing them.
Right.
I can't just make it public property. No, not public.
No,
so they, yeah, so they can't come sit in front of Jack's and sell tacos. But if Luke's Kerber wants to have a food truck in his lot, that's within 200 feet of Jack's.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Or same with
but Jack
Lou's.
Is,
if Lou's wants somebody to come sell barbecue for a night,
it's right across the
street.
Within
200 feet, last chance, even though it'll be on his property.
That's not a bad idea.
So exactly what are you saying?
Make it 200 feet of a restaurant on public property. So if they want to come set up on private property, they're fine.
Because he does those, because he usually puts
on the street.
Yeah, so as long as you're not taking a street spot.
Because that pizza truck used to set everyone that would come to town.
Papa John's was right there by.
Set at Trackside.
Yeah. Well, before that, they were right across from Michael's.
That's true.
Yeah. That was the reason that was put in there.
I knew that caused a bunch of ruckus for a while. Just trying to make it a little more fair to people that don't serve food, but sometimes, especially events, like to do something like that.
I know Luce Cover does that occasionally, and I think Lou and Denny's have done it a time or two. I think recently Lou and Denny's has been buying food from It'll Do or something. They have some kind of agreement, which actually helps both businesses.
Or if, you know, Claire's wants to do a car sale and have Konak ice there, they couldn't set up on Claire's property because Monica's right behind them.
That's true.
Yeah, but they don't sell the same thing.
Doesn't matter. It says not allowed.
Yeah,
but
the ordinances.
I understand that, but see, there's where it becomes very sticky. They're not a competing business.
Okay, so what if they say, hey, we want Papa John's to come sell for our event one day only?
Papa John's can come sell for their event.
On their property, yeah. But according to this, they could.
I like what you're saying, though. Not on public property and across within 200 feet. Not on public property 200 feet from the business. I like that. That added in there because they could put it on private. The only thing that would hurt, though, possibly, is if they do another Fall Fest downtown, but then they just have to put the food trucks at the other end of the block. Or they'd get a special permit. That's what special permits are for.
Special permits for, yeah.
And then in all of these events, these festivals, or in our hypothetical situation where Luce is having a truck there, are we then charging them each the $50 if they're not already on our annual, if they don't already have the annual permit?
Technically, unless they get a, like for fun day, the money would go back to fun day. Also, we added to it too is the penalties, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now if Justin catches the solicitors in town, he actually has a fine. It's 150 first fine, 300 second, 500 thereafter.
My other comment was time limit. I'd like to move it from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., just 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., just a little earlier. Time limit for soliciting, not door-to-door people.
Oh, soliciting. Okay. Well, there's also a time thing on food vendors, too.
Yeah, they're 9 on weekdays and midnight on weekends.
I don't have a problem with
the
9 a.m. 7 p.m. or sunset.
I just know that.
That's 4:30.
Yeah. I just know at 7 my house we're starting bedtime stuff.
Yeah.
7:30 we're getting kids in bed, and 7:45 and somebody's knocking on the door.
Set the dogs off.
So, yeah. That's me. That's a lot of people too. So.
So you want 7 p.m. or sunset, whichever's
earlier.
Yeah, 9 a.m. is kind of early for you, too, if you're just got off a midnight shift.
That's nothing. I mean, we still have to make it open to people.
Yeah, I know.
Can't just close it off.
I agree.
You can solicit from 12:45 to 1 p.m. and 5:15
make it
to
quick.
Just 5:30.
All right, any other things on here? Are you guys fine with the fees?
So, what is the fee for solicitors? Because
it's $10 a day.
In 111.06 of what we have published, Section B says that it's a $50 fee.
That should be the food vendors.
No, it says duty of solicitors, and then it shall be the duty of each applicant to pay a non-refundable application fee of $50 upon initial application for each person who shall be soliciting or acting as a transient merchant, or itinerant vendor, provided there shall be no fee for charitable solicitation as defined in blah, blah, blah. Food trucks and bicycles vending ice cream. Man, those were the days. Shall alternatively pay a seasonal $50 permit fee starting April 1st through October 1st each year. All applicants will each also be required to pay a $500 deposit per person, which will be refunded upon expiration of the permit period, pending upon their incurring no incidents during their 5 days.
He's online.
I'm looking at our actual published ordinances.
This is $10 per day per person.
Yeah,
in
that's
the new one.
Yeah. That's not.
We cleaned up some stuff out of. That's what Brandy was to do, is clean up some of that stuff. Do you want to add that back in?
Why did we take it out?
We've never even enforced it.
So
we have an ordinance that we're not even enforcing, so we made this ordinance so it could be enforced.
Previously, for whatever reason, solicitors were being charged $5 per day per person.
Because there's an additional $10 non-refundable fee for paperwork, which is the lanyard card and the like, it says. So that's probably what that $10 was for the lanyards and things. But they're supposed to be paying us $50 per person.
Yeah, like Brandy said, they're charging $5 a person. And that's the way it's always, it's one of those, that's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even following the original ordinance. But I think it's on the forms that they fill out as $5 a day. So that's probably where nobody ever looked at the ordinance. They just went off the old form.
Oh, no, $5. Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we were talking about this. And I'm like, we need to clean this up and make it to where it's enforceable.
So we're saying
start following it.
$10 per person per solicitor
per day. Yes.
So that would be the $50.
Right. Because they're allowed to have a
5 days.
Permit up to 5 days.
They can solicit for 5 days.
Whether they do or not, it's $50.
That's what the current ordinance states.
Okay. Where this one says $10 per day. It doesn't say $50 for 5 days.
So is it easier to just have it the flat 50? They have a 5 day permit, and you don't have to worry about, okay, you were here for 3 days, you guys were here for 2 days, you guys were here for 5 days. You want to solicit, you have 5 days. That's it. And you pay us $50.
A lot of companies just come in for 1 day, though. Like
that's their fault. They have $50. They have 5 days.
Yard man, they come in 1 day, just hit it real quick, and then they citing people. And the one that does it for a long time is the one lady that sells books.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, when the exchange students will come through and sell books.
So they do a good job of coming to the village office.
Occasionally, we don't.
My thought is, if they have to come in every day to get that permit, we know who is out every day. If they have a 5 day permit, they may be here 1 day, not the next. And to me, it would be easier to keep track of who is out there every day soliciting if they wanted to.
Especially if you have a problem with one of them, they come in, you're like, no.
There's nothing for them to turn back into us, right? So for us, it doesn't matter if they're here one day or all 5 days.
It matters to Justin and it matters to, well, me, because if they come one day and they're gone, okay, we know they're gone. If they come and they're here for 5 days, if they have to come in every day to get a permit, they're like, okay, Johnny came in today and picked a permit to solicit. And then a couple days later, oh, Johnny's soliciting again today.
But that's the point. That's why the ordinance was written like that. You, somewhere at some point, the village board decided solicitors have 5 days. And if Brandy fills out the paperwork...
And is it 5 consecutive days? Or can it just be five days a year?
I would say it would be a five-day period from Monday to Friday.
But does it say that in the old ordinance?
It doesn't even actually state in that section that that $50 covers is basically $10 a day.
Hmm.
It just later in that paragraph states you're at the end of your 5 days, your $500 fee is refunded. So it's a $50 non-refundable fee plus a $500 fee to ensure you don't cause trouble in our village.
Hmm.
That gets refunded. So up front, it's $550 to solicit in our village. You get $500 of that back if you aren't causing trouble with our people.
What is the $500 fee for that's refundable?
Well, and then how do they get the refundable fee back?
I don't know.
The deposit?
Because that means they have to come back
to the village. It's a $500
deposit.
All applicants will each also be required to pay a $500 deposit per person.
Here's where I am about it. Who's going to enforce it? Justin.
So I feel like if he thinks it will make his life easier to have the solicitors come every day to do what they need to do to be registered, then I'm going to back him on that so that it can easily be enforced or more easily be enforced. So I don't know if there's probably going to be some communication you all do, and you probably already do it, where so-and-so's in town and here's what they look like. I don't know if there's
each color's a different day
or not.
Each day's a different color.
The lanyards.
I would say so, because then that way it shows that they actually got a permit, because a lot of people don't know that. Solicitors
at the end of the day, they can drop the lanyards.
Yeah, I like
boxes.
The idea of a lanyard personally.
It says
Solicitor
of the Village of Tolono approved
or
something
on it.
Like that.
I like the different colors at the each day. I like that.
Pink and yellow and blue.
And
something that's not easily copied.
Right.
And we can make those in house with your little ID machine.
With your laminator.
You have a laminator?
I don't.
I mean, bands like
your ID machine.
We get the magic.
Oh, we can do that, yes.
Yeah.
But it just has little clear stickers you put over the top of it. It doesn't laminate. But that would, I mean, we could make.
They would work. I mean,
I would have to have some help from Brian there, but we could get something made up. Yeah, like a card, like a something on there that could be.
Yeah, make the card, punch hole, put on a lanyard.
Yeah.
You could still do something like a deposit and say you have to bring all this stuff back. You get your check back or your whatever.
The only problem with that is that they'd have to wait around to the next day to get their money back from the office.
Maybe.
And? Not if it's mailed.
But if there was,
that's
if we
true.
Wanted to make sure we could hang on to the lanyards or whatever else we might issue them.
Sure, they would be numbered.
Sure.
Could mail them.
Brandy would have the information, so if the say we up it to $15 with a $5 refundable fee.
Do we
check the water box that day? Hey, the lanyards 2, 3, and 5 are there. They get their check mailed off to them, $5 each.
But see, the deposit is to make sure they're not causing trouble.
No,
and then turning in their lanyard.
Turning in the lanyard. Say we upped it to $15 instead of $10. $5 refundable fee for don't lose our lanyard.
For the equipment.
Yeah.
Do we still charge them a deposit to come solicit?
I don't know. I think $500 is pretty extreme.
It feels a little. I don't know what they would do where we would not give them that back.
I don't know. Harassing different people who have said, don't come to my door.
It would be the ordinance fee on the new one, right? Hey, you had 3 complaints that you were belligerent or came into a door that said no solicitors, that's three offenses. So what's third offense? $500?
Yeah, it is.
Now you don't get it back.
I guess those are almost to the village of Tolona, you gotta pay to play.
Yeah. Some of those deposits are almost more trouble than worth.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot more work for Brandy. A lot more transactions. But I mean, how many people do we have that actually come to the village and solicit?
AAA comes quite often, and when they come,
really?
They bring like.
It's 15 or 20 kids.
They bring
really?
They like it to town.
Really?
At least they do good about wearing uniform shirts.
Right.
The kids all know how
to wear. No guard man comes.
Because I'd stop at every one of them when I'd see them.
True green.
So enough about solicitors. Let's talk about the food trucks.
Well, we haven't decided what we're charging on the solicitors yet. We need to decide that. What do you guys want to do on that?
I like doing it the way it's written. The new one? The new one.
Okay.
The only thing would be if we start giving them land or something they have to return, just making sure we get them back or
back.
Get our money out of them.
Okay.
So
all right. Now we can move on to food trucks. Unless anybody's against that.
Against food trucks?
So no,
food.
Against the...
So wait, well, let me, just so I'm clear, they come into the office, they have to fill out a form, we take a copy of their driver's license,
mm-hmm.
and we get all the information regarding their business, management, all that kind of stuff. So they pay the $10 per day, and we give them a lanyard.
We haven't given out lanyards yet.
That would
we
be new.
Made those. That'd be something new.
I think that we definitely need to have something to where they are identified that they have a permit.
Which we can do lanyards, we just haven't done that yet.
Okay.
So that's something
have
new we'll
something
have to make
visible
up.
That shows that they came to us, we are aware they're here, you know, that way people know that we approve those solicitors to be in town. But I agree with at least a $50 deposit to where they have to return that lanyard.
The problem with the deposit, though, a lot of these companies come in, they do it one day, they leave town at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whenever it's done, and they don't come back again for another year. So to get their deposit back, we're going to have the expense of collecting the lanyards, counting them, and then she's going to have to either mail them, we're going to have to issue another check to them.
Well, what if they give us, I don't know, check and then if
well,
we don't return
some of them don't do
day,
check, some of them do cash. So, I mean, I'm not against it. I'm just saying here's the heartache that goes along with it.
Because if that person keeps that lanyard, they can come to our neighborhoods whenever they want.
True.
Because we don't want the fee.
I guess what would be.
I mean, a credit card would be great because you can just debit it right back to them, like you guys were just saying.
Yeah, but no,
less,
I was saying don't
less
because.
The fees.
There's
fees
on both sides of that for the merchant.
Subtract it out.
You're the one dealing with this. You and Justin are the two that this affects more than anybody.
So Brandy would be doing all the
paperwork.
Hard work. I would just be checking colors.
How would you refund back their deposit?
What's the color of the day?
I don't know.
And on top of them issuing a check, that means one of us have to go in and sign that check too.
What if we didn't do a deposit, and if a year from now we have a big problem about chaos with solicitors, we can just create something.
How about this? In the paperwork they sign for it, if the lanyard's not paid in, the business owes us a whatever.
Send them an
invoice. Then we'll send them an invoice and a bill for each lanyard's $10 a piece or something. And then, granted, if we do get a bunch of them missed, a bunch of them disappear or whatever, then we have to make new ones, then we change the design on them.
Which costs us more money.
True,
but
if
then
we're
we
getting $10
a
pop off
of
them.
The lanyards aren't going to cost that much.
No.
At the end of the day, it's just build the cost into the fee. So if we need to make it, like Jared said, $15 a day per person or $12 a day per person,
yeah.
We don't get them back.
But to Jared's point, if we don't get them back, then people are pretending to be solicitors in our community.
But if we change them year to year, 2020 permitted solicitor.
No, that's true.
2021 permitted solicitor.
How much does it cost to make an ID?
Honestly, I don't know. I have all the supplies here and I just go.
We've never had to replace ink in that printer yet.
Yeah, we have
not cheap.
Is it you can ask all of the elementary kids to make us lanyards to hand out to every solicitor in town.
Hey, Justin, what kind
that
of printer
would be
is it?
The
Zebra?
Best. Gives them something to
it's
do. They can contribute.
I have to look. I'm
sure that'd be great.
I think the actual printer was like over $1,000, maybe more. It was.
And the it lays down layers of sheets of color.
If I have to draw it.
That's what we have.
Yeah, we were supposed to make those for everybody.
Yeah, someone ever sent an email out, haven't they?
Okay, yeah,
I did send an email out.
That's not
cheap. I
didn't get pictures
from everybody.
I don't want to make it difficult
it's not crazy
for
expensive.
Brandy
we
to
do
have
not
it's
those
not cheap,
multiple
though.
Transactions.
Yeah, we do the same
obviously don't
everybody.
Want somebody
no, we don't affect the staff. We're
coming
totally
in,
cost recovery.
You know, saying
so
I got
a
permit
printer,
this day,
it's a similar
and,
thing, and we do,
you know,
we
four
do
or five
all
weeks from
the
now,
back,
you're back out here.
So that's not cheap.
You know, we don't know.
But
it's
not
crazy. Because there's probably going to be some communication that so-and-so is here today for one day.
It's
its
own separate.
And his team sees that the next day, he's going to be like,
the actual permit that we give them says that it's good for this day through this day.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a piece of paper that they carry with them. So instead of lanyards, they have that piece of paper. And I've actually asked the solicitors for that piece of paper. They usually have it right on their clipboard that they can show it to you and have Brandy's signature on it or whatever.
And the other part of this that I didn't think about now is that's going to help is we've got it listed in there now. If you have a sign that says no solicitors, you shouldn't have to come to your door anyway.
Yeah.
And
that's
if we
one.
Buy
the
a couple hundred of those
right
stickers to provide people
height, if you notice, there's the hole.
At cost, I know I would take one. I'm sure several other people would too.
Right.
I would.
That would fix a lot of
so
issues anyway.
Do you want to put that in there? And that's one of the we can find them for going to a house.
We did. It's in.
It
it's
is.
In the bottom.
Did I miss that?
Yeah.
111.05.
Yeah. Do you walk
like
up
that.
The door,
good
knock
job,
on it,
Brandy.
Whatever. Yeah. Did you
oh,
write the orders, Brandy?
Brandy wrote it.
You did a very good
yeah,
job.
She did
it's,
a really
it's
good
very
job
comprehensive
on it.
And
I like this. I think we should make solicitor signs and sell them at the village at cost. So they're the exact size that you need. I like that a lot.
Did you mention in the beginning, Rob, that we would announce it to
what?
The board members, the village officer, and I think we should post it to the public as well that, you know, Terrence Stuber Incorporated would be here for 2 days. You know, they have been approved by the village. Just so you're aware, I mean, we don't
better
necessarily
copyright.
Need...
I better trademark that name.
Too late.
I already wrote it down. And got 7 email addresses.
Well, we're doing better on social
just so
media
we,
stuff.
I mean,
so.
I don't need a phone call. I don't need a text message.
Just don't need a rave alert.
A rave alert, but a next door, a Facebook,
media.
Or something stating, you know, so-and-so will be in town. We have approved him.
I like that.
I mean, how hard is it for us to...
I know Muhammad does stuff like that. You
do
see
that
him turn up on their stuff every now and then.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean,
you can
how much
do
is
that.
One of those email addresses going to cost me?
$50.
Come on.
All right, cool. Anything else before we move on?
So motion to approve...
We got to talk about trucks first now. Sorry.
We've been talking about
food trucks. No, man, because from what I'm hearing, a business can, without need of a permit and without violating this ordinance, can have any food truck they want on their private property, no restrictions.
As long as they pay the fee.
As long as they pay the fee, yeah.
So
what you're saying is Terrence Stuber Incorporated cannot have a food truck on my own property for my own private party.
No, you said can, right?
Without paying a fee for something I'm already paying.
Is food big people, the general public?
No. I said my own private party,
yeah.
My own private property.
So it's yours.
If the food truck is selling food in town, it has to pay their yearly fee.
Not on your property, but if it's selling to a public.
If the food truck is selling food in town.
See, therein lies the question.
If it's selling food in town, it doesn't matter if it's on Terrence's property, if it is selling food. Now, if he has a food, I think the caveat to that, if he has a food truck come and there's not selling anything.
So, wait a second.
They're just cooking food out of it.
We held a summer kickoff party for our...
Don't we have a catering fee?
Homeowner Association last year. And we invited a food truck, and we just paid them the cost to come out there for that one time. So they would actually have to pay to come for that one event.
Were they charging for food?
Yes.
Yes, then they would have to pay the $50 fee. Okay. It's a $50 fee. If a food truck's going to come, they're going to make their $50.
So do you want something there that just says for sale to the general public? That would meet your caveat there of it's here for my party.
Because if you had it for your neighborhood, that's not technically the general public. No. That's a private party for people in
this neighborhood. Were you limiting the people coming though?
No.
Yeah.
I know.
You would be limiting the people who are coming, right? Not one.
Yeah.
And it would be under 50 people, right?
No. This will be post-COVID.
Actually, isn't it 10 now?
Because it'd be a private event at that point. It's private. It's limited to your invitees.
Right.
You're not inviting. You're not just...
It's not open to the general public.
Are you paying them to cater, or are you just having them on your property? And
I'm having them on... So...
Do your guests have to pay?
I love how much we're discussing that.
So, yeah, well... The reason I ask is because I know that different organizations have had someone like Kona Ice come in to their property for an event they're hosting, and they've let the people that have been invited to the event know, hey, Kona Ice is going to be here, and I'm just using Kona Ice as an example. Kona Ice is going to be here, and you know they're going to be selling things from this time to this time. But that's at my private event, and I've only told the people that have been invited to my event. But they still have to pay individually for their snow cone.
See, I think if they're selling stuff in our town, they should have to pay the $50 a year fee.
But what if we?
Because
it makes it the same across the board for
everybody.
That's for a business. Then that food truck is making money for that business as well. Whereas for us, we had to pay for that food truck to be there. And so if they're paying you,
it's a yearly
us,
fee.
The village, $50, and I'm
did
a
we
private
change it to yearly,
property
or is this
party,
actually still say
I have to pay them to
it's
here
January 1st to December 31st.
Okay. So you change
right,
it
and they're
going
to just pass it on to us.
And
so,
this is investment. Dinners for fun day.
Well, I get that they're going to be here using our roads, but why do we need $50 from them? Wouldn't we want to encourage that?
Thank you.
Come to Tolono. We want you here, and we want your ice cream, and we want your
tacos.
Roast beef, and we want your tacos, and we want your cracked, and I can name a lot of food trucks, right?
She did say cracked.
Yes.
Well, it does a couple different things too, because when they come in to pay the yearly fee, then we get a copy of their health department stuff. They get and all of the stuff that goes along with it.
I think we can still require that. I just don't think we need to charge them a fee. I think we just need
do you want to encourage a bunch of food trucks to come to town? Because then you just put all of our other businesses out that are
No, you've created competition. You haven't put them out. You've created competition. People who like Jack's are still going to go to Jack's. They're not going to go to the food
trucks. But they also pay taxes, and these food trucks aren't going to be paying taxes.
Food trucks aren't
I understand that. And that would probably be the reason to keep the fee, is because they're not paying taxes, and our business owners are. But
would this be more geared towards vendors who are not solicited, like for fun day or for a business that's coming in, or
fun day is a special event? So we'd be,
you have a special event.
It'd just be a thing when you're allowing food vendors.
But would it? Some of them are food trucks. Some of
it's a special event. Trailers. They can request whatever they want as far as variances go, right?
Well, and on top of that, it's at the park too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, but if you do the Fall Fest down here, mm-hmm. it's not. I mean, there's two restaurants that are two establishments that serve food that are impacted.
So that's where we're at. They don't pay property tax. They don't pay
sales
tax, mm-hmm. or anything like that. So they come to town, and I mean, really, it's probably mm-hmm. cheaper to do out of a food truck than it is out of a mortar building.
Oh, well, I'm sure it is. And the only way to get around it, we require them of, you collect sales tax and everything, and you provide us the receipts to show you collect the sales tax, and now we have to.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
Exactly. That's a giant freaking headache. And I don't want Brandy to quit, so.
Exactly. Well, Brandy, you weren't here today, so guess what you get to do? You get to go sit in the food truck and check what they're selling.
If they're coming to town anyways, they can't just park their food truck on public property.
They can park it in a parking spot. What's preventing them from parking in a parking spot?
Where would they park in a parking spot that wasn't in front of a public property?
We've got all downtown. I mean, you can park 200 feet away from Jack's downtown.
Not in front of my church. You park a food truck by my church, you're close to Jack's, you're also close to Trackside.
But I mean, you go on down the road.
And then you're close to Jack's and you're close to Luz Copra.
You could find some place to park.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, exactly, in front of the police department.
It's right there.
Get light and everything.
That's where pandemonium's going to be tomorrow.
Where?
If a business is bringing in a food truck, wouldn't they probably have a special event permit already?
Not necessarily.
I think it should be selling to the public, because I agree with Terrence. If I'm having a private property party and Kona Ice wants to sit their truck on my lawn, then they can sit their truck on my lawn.
But are they selling to the public?
No, they're selling my private property.
Jared, you know you're not going to let a truck on your lawn.
No, I'm not. But,
but in his driveway.
No, I'm close.
It's you're talking $50 a year. That's not going to hurt any of them, and they're going to make that way back. So.
And we also don't have a parade of food trucks driving through town every night.
Until tomorrow.
If we do, then we can address it at that point.
Food trucks will be here tomorrow.
See, and on top of that, the same thing with the solicitors and stuff like that. We have a list of the food trucks are going to be here. Hopefully, we know who to get a hold of if there's a problem and stuff.
So, if they pay that $50 a year fee, they can come out anytime without letting anybody know?
Do you want to have something in there? Just
no, I'm just asking the question. Because solicitors have to check in.
Is this something that you're wanting, though? Do you want to say, hey, you can be here 10 times for $50? Do you give us a week's notice that you're going to be here next week? Give us 5 days notice before you're going to be here any time throughout the year? When and where?
No. No. Because their food truck business is transient. They, you know, they're going to go where it's best for them at that time.
So
they may not know that until, you know, they may not know where they're going to be tomorrow until later tonight.
Let's say,
they post on Facebook. In Tolono tomorrow morning.
Let's just say that Terrence's Korean barbecue parks at the park.
Did you write that one down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Parks at the park, and they already paid their $50. So they're serving food. and it says beverage. Are they allowed to sell alcohol?
No.
No.
So, City of Champaign, it's $25 application fee for a food truck and a $200 annual fee per peddler.
Dead.
So, they're, per food truck.
Yeah. Per business.
And so, they also have very strict locations where they
can be. Yeah, there's a lot of...
This is something I'd rather see it very minimal at first. Let's see what happens, and we address it as we go.
And they have to have a $100,000 insurance policy.
Because if we end up with this great problem of
lots of
a parade of food trucks,
yeah,
I'd be thrilled. then we'll figure out what we need to do.
What kind of insurance and stuff they have to have.
Per day, just like the solicitors.
We could do that. I mean, but
then we'd have them all down here. It's only $10 for tomorrow.
Well, or you can pay 40 and come down.
Terrence's Korean barbecue. Kimchi for days. Hashtag BLT. Barbecue like Terrence.
I already wrote that down.
No, I already have the BLT. I'm sorry.
Why don't we sit on this one a little bit longer? Or are we almost there? Have we gotten there?
Well, if you guys
are we there yet?
If you guys want to sit on it, we can pass on it today, and we can talk about it at the next meeting.
So what changes were we wanting to see with it? What do you have on food trucks?
So my concerns are groups that want to have food trucks at their private
events.
I don't think they should be charged. I don't think... Now, granted, if the business has already paid the $50 to be out on our... So the $50 should be if they want to sell on our public roads, not in private property.
I would do more of sell to the public.
Right. Which can only happen on public roadways or public spaces, not in private property.
Well, not if they get permission from, like, Line IFS to sit in their property.
Or BC Bank to sit in the parking lot.
True.
Or Loose Cobra.
True.
I like sticking it to private parties, not for general public sales.
Let's just set on it. We'll come back to it next meeting. Everybody can have.
I was just trying to get enough. So Brandon, get a redline versions back to us of what we changed so far. Otherwise, we're going to forget. We'll have the same arguments next week, 2 weeks from now. The 200-foot limit. Just make sure that's on 200 feet while on public property. Solicitors 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
I mean, we could.
Or sunset.
And you get it.
Okay.
When we have food trucks, mobile food vendors 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 7 to midnight. So 7 a.m. Friday and Saturday, or after 12 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. So 7 to 12 on Fridays. And 7 to 12 on Saturdays. for food trucks.
That, yeah, that's in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do we need to sit on it, or is that good enough?
I don't know that we have to sit on it.
Yeah. All right, it's good enough.
So I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-17 with changes.
His second?
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, so. Next one should be easy. It's approval of a variance, 1199 Country Road 600N. They're wanting to separate and build. It's within, what, a mile and a half of the village, so that's why it has to come before us.
It's
I know, it's on the edge. There's another one coming next meeting, too, for the exact same thing, and they're just about as far out.
Motion to approve.
Hold on.
What? Did you say hold on?
What is this?
Little.
Oh, the little?
It's a parcel of land out in the country, a mile and a half away from the village. But because it's that close to the village.
Is this the one where they sent us the letter for the zoning board to not have a meeting?
Yeah, they don't, yeah. Zoning board didn't need a meeting.
And we're approving on the positions or doing the letter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll
okay.
Sign it.
Just want to be clear.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Okay, then the next approval up to $1,000 for conference room PC, that's also to include cameras, if you can get those within that $100, because we still haven't bought that camera. That's not even ours. So we really...
$1,000. Conference room PC?
Well, yeah, that's not our computer. That's
right
his
now?
Computer, that's his camera. So...
Some possessions 9/10 of the law.
I know, right?
Receipts. So we would be paying for a PC and
can actually buy a computer. Yeah.
Yeah, buy a computer and hopefully he can stretch that to get a couple cameras out of it too.
Yeah,
I would say
I coupon shop and
I would say PC cameras and something to get rid of all these microphones.
That's going to cost
money.
A lot of more money than that. We've been looking at
dang
it. Because
we've
been talking back and forth about maybe just putting one microphone in and then we can get rid of all of it. It's just the recording of it.
And that microphone would be very expensive to get rid of all of these with one.
So it's been discussed. So.
I'll make a motion to approve up to $1,000 for conference room, PC, and camera.
Second.
Okay, the local cure program.
Hold on.
I'm sorry, roll call. I'm moving on. I'm ready to go.
Ping.
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Okay, the local cure program,
yeah,
which is coronavirus financial support certification. Local coronavirus urgent
remediation.
Remediation emergencies program.
Do we even have $150,000 worth of receipts to get reimbursed for?
No.
We have any receipts to get reimbursed for?
We have some. Justin's been keeping track of stuff. And we've been keeping track of stuff, so but we have to have the ordinance to get reimbursed. So.
Well, listen, before we muck into something that's going to cost more pain than what we're going to get out of it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Basically, this is saying we can get reimbursed up to $142,199 if we have the receipts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
A long way to say all of that. Under the conditions described. I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-018, the Local Cure Program.
Second.
Buffo?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Now we do this every year too, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you need to put on a top hat. And you need to put on tails, and you need to stand and proclaim.
Oh man, that would have been cool, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We need a spotlight.
Whereas.
All right, then the Proclamation of National Rail Safety Week.
Go for it, Mr. Mayor.
I'm not reading all this. Would you like to read near fest?
No, it says I, Robert Murphy. I am not Robert Murphy.
All right. Do we have to vote on this?
No.
No, you're just proclaiming.
Okay, we're proclaiming National Rail Safety Week and all of that stuff therein.
Which no one can read because...
But it's going to be posted on our website.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
It's from September 21st to September 27th, if anybody wants to know.
All right, nuisance files. Anything from nuisance files? Anything new? Anything like that? Special events. We do have a special event that got approved for that parade. That is, what time is that?
Parade?
I think it's like 11, 11:30, somewhere around in there on a Saturday, and it's going to, they're going to, I think he said they wanted to start in Mahomet, St. Joe, and Tolono. It's a police support. I think the Blue Crew was going to bring in a lot of bikers. They were going to start in three different towns and meet up at the State Farm Center for a appropriate police rally. And basically, I would probably maybe lead it and break off and block traffic at 45 so they can get on 45 and head north.
Perfect.
This is this Saturday?
The 19th. I believe is that right?
I think so.
I don't have that in my packet.
It wasn't in the packet. It already got approved. It was one of the ones that didn't have to run through here, but I wanted to bring it up, so.
I thought you were talking about a golf cart parade.
Yeah, I thought
no, there is a golf cart parade coming. When is that?
Next
this Friday?
This Friday?
Not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
Vicky's going to be one of our judges.
Oh,
we still have,
I wish tomorrow.
We still have a few more days till Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Anything else for the good of the order?
I have a couple questions. People are asking about Halloween already, and if we have made our plans, stance.
People are already wearing masks,
Well, we have an ordinance on the books already that we don't have to approve every year, right? So that's
really more of, are we going to
keep it going,
or are we going to cancel it?
During the state of Corona and the pandemic for Halloween trick-or-treaters, what is our planned or not planned?
We actually had one of the groups actually ask about doing their trunk and treat.
Trunk or treat?
I think people are just wanting
the
to
trunk.
Know.
Are you going to treat?
I mean, everything can change like that between now and Halloween.
Right. I think it's too early.
Yeah. I think we're just a wait and see game. I wish I had a better answer.
We have three more meetings before that date.
And it'll probably be a last minute thing. Hopefully this is all over by then, which would be awesome.
The election is not until the next month.
No, that's true. So, you said you had a couple things.
I can't remember now.
All right, well.
Sorry.
If there's nothing else, then I just need a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?